the goals and what our achievements should be in this area. Finally, with respect to math being the next slide, these are the current and future efforts to improve participation, proactive outreach activities, pre-proposal conferences. The university has just hired a diversity consultant to recommend strategies for increasing MAFB spend and communications, exploring commodities designation to allow achievement of higher MAFB participation, expanding the campus's participation and involvement to increase diversity expenditures, and the high aspiration goals will help us drive an increase in this MAFB capacity. Into this whole mix, of course, is keeping within the law and the new regulations of the Senate Bill 51 and the new procurement regulations, and that's what OBFS is really working hard to achieve. The third part of the presentations that you saw last year were, we've skipped one slide. Back one. Ooh. Well, on your slide 15. Thank you. At the board retreat, the board devoted, as you may recall, 25% of your time, I believe it was the first time that this was done in a public format in a retreat, and I know that this engendered a lot of interest and support by faculty and staff on the campuses when they heard about this. And that was that the board addressed head-on the issue of goals and expectations at the board retreat. In preparation for this, you were given a diversity briefing document which contextualized a lot of the data that I showed you, but much more data than what I showed you. And we contextualized it for you with some challenges, action steps, and future goals so that you could help guide us in how we wanted to address this complex issue. But I think the highlights, obviously, were the presentations by Professor Anderson addressed us and talked about how experience trumps mountains and valleys, that we need to do a better job in outreach to our students, we create a welcoming climate, and we need to challenge our students to excellence and provide them the wherewithal and motivation to do so. He also talked about having scholarship camps. His presentation was followed by another very nice presentation by Professor Ralph Cintron, who talked about why diversity matters, why we need to make diversity heuristic, and his anthropological experiences approach to this topic, and also his own personal experiences of living within the community from which he hopes to recruit and educate so he can have a better understanding of the students we're recruiting. And finally, Representative Cynthia Soto challenged the university to fund and support programs even in the face of drastic budget reductions and lack of payments of appropriated funds. And she challenged us to continue to listen to student needs. So after 1 year of really having a very nice exposure of being able to present various aspects of diversity, and we're not done because there are lots more topics we haven't covered in depth, where do we stand with enhancements in diversity management? And if I can have the last slide. I think the one of the biggest enhancements we've had is that the board is devoting a portion of each meeting to for its discussions on diversity, and I think this is great. The board resolution on high aspiration diverse business enterprise participation goals, I think is really going to help us with dealing with minority-owned businesses. And then President Hogan this fall has been very busy because he has assigned following cross-campus responsibilities. He wants to Vice President Chancellor Alan Mears to look at how we can facilitate our efforts to recruit students from diverse backgrounds. He's challenged Vice President Chancellor Berman to look at the hiring and development of underrepresented faculty. He's asked me to conduct a university-wide campus climate survey. And as I already mentioned, we've hired a MAFB consultant and Heather Habaraka, Vice President Bass, and Vice President Beckman are overseeing those efforts. So Thank you. That's the progress report.
Thank you, Mina. Are there any questions? I might ask if, for two or three things, if it's possible.
Sure.
I think it'd be helpful to look at the agenda for the next year for each meeting, and maybe a proposed agenda of topics that we hope to cover.
Sure.
And look at that in advance of all of the next meetings. I think it might be helpful to have the data on pages 8 and 9 by college within the, or appropriate unit within the university.
You mean the tenure staff and the academic professional?
Yeah, and then the information on page 6 as well.
Sure.
And then I think it'd be helpful to understand specifically what we're going to do to generate additional students from the Chicago public school system. Exactly what steps are going to happen this year given our underwhelming performance last year.
Yeah, so I have, if I can have one more minute, I do have some numbers of where we stand with the FY 2010, the fall 2010 enrollments from Chicago Public Schools. So the Chicago campus has 22% of its entering freshmen come from the CPS schools. Urbana has about 7% of its entering freshmen come from the CPS schools. And Springfield, I believe, has also about 7%. So the total is about 12%. We have 1,251 students this year from the Chicago public schools across the three campuses, and I have some more data on that. But we'll definitely give you some more information on that.
I think we were also disappointed specifically in the diversity characteristics of that enrollment. And I think
I'd be happy to
get a report on.
I'd be happy to provide.
Okay, on what we're going to do in the future. Is that all right?
Thank you
very much for that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is the, we're going to go into the votes at this point. There are going to be two sets of votes that will occur. One set is what's known as the voice vote agenda, and the rest are in what's called the roll call agenda. We'll do the voice vote agenda first. Before we proceed to consider all of the items in that group, I'd like to comment on one of the agenda items, which is the resolution regarding the academic year tuition rate recommendations. And I think I just thought it would be helpful for the audience to understand that the board's hope is to keep tuition flat on an inflation-adjusted basis over the near term, which we think of in terms of maybe 3 years. On a historic basis, the tuition changes have been inconsistent year to year as to their levels. The tuition decisions by the board often come late in the planning process, and the timing for final decisions is often unpredictable. Students and faculty and staff all would prefer a clear, early, and predictable understanding of tuition practices. The board recognizes that both short and long-term planning is hindered by a lack of clarity regarding future tuition levels. The board wants to contain tuition costs for individual students to ensure affordability at the state's flagship university. The board wants to preserve our ability to hire top-flight faculty, which is often dependent on higher tuition. The state's short and long-term fiscal situation continues to be unpredictable. The board hopes to provide guidance to the senior leadership at the university. The board does not want the tuition to go up any faster than inflation, but the board does not want the buying power of the tuition ravished by the effects of inflation. We are requesting that the staff develop a tuition recommendation which would preserve the buying power of today's tuition levels over the next few years. The board hopes that the conceptual framework that we're considering will aid the university in its planning for the short-term horizon, which we think of as that 3-year plus or minus range. The board hopes that the significant cost savings yielded by the cost-cutting process will lead to lower long-term inflation-adjusted tuition rates. And the board is aware that any additional cuts in state funding, either announced or stealth, may create cause for an increase in tuition above the inflation-adjusted rates. The bottom line is the board hopes to keep tuition flat on an inflation-adjusted basis. With those considerations, I'd invite any other comment on that issue, and otherwise I'll continue on. To continue with the description of the agenda, the items in the voice vote agenda were listed in the material distributed. The secretary will read the title of all the items. After Michelle has read them, we can discuss any open issues, although I understand that each of you has had a chance to speak with President Hogan or other staff members to provide clarity, so I hope by now there aren't too many open items. But of course, we welcome all discussion. After the discussion, we'll vote on all of the items at once, and we'll vote on them as a group. If anyone wants to vote uniquely on any one of the items, it's easily accommodated by just indicating so to Michelle. Michelle, will you, as secretary, then please read the list of items on the voice vote agenda?
A1, approve minutes of Board of Trustees meeting. 1, approve resolution concerning art and architecture policy. 1A, approve resolution regarding academic year tuition rate recommendations. 2, approve honorary degree, Urbana. 3, appoint interim dean, College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, Chicago. 4, appoint acting dean, College of Pharmacy, Chicago. 5, amend multi-year contract with Director of Intercollegiate Athletics, Chicago. 6, appointments to the faculty, administrative professional staff, and intercollegiate athletic staff. 7, establish the Agricultural Leadership and Science Education Program, College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, Urbana. 8, establish the Bachelor of Science degree in Agricultural Leadership and Science Education, College of ACES, Urbana. 9, rename degrees and minor in the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, Chicago. 10, approve student fees for Urbana, Chicago, and Springfield for fiscal year 2012. 11, approve rate changes for university-operated housing facilities, Urbana, Chicago, and Springfield, fiscal year 2012. And 12, approve amendments to investment policy for the endowment operating funds. 13, approve amendments to policy on conflicts of commitment and interest. Number 14 has been withdrawn, as discussed earlier. Number 15 is approve amendments to the University of Illinois statutes.
Sir, is this the time for a discussion?
Sure.
On an item? I'd like to draw the board's attention to item number 10. Earlier in the meeting, we were all handed an executive order passed by the Illinois Student Senate last night with an overwhelming majority. It's been the understanding with student fees, when students elect to have these fees, that they should have a considerable amount of control in the process and whether, you know, the fees increase or remain the same throughout the year. And with two fees on the Urbana campus, the library IT assessment and the AFMFA assessment fee, there is, to my knowledge and to the knowledge of the Student Senate, been no student input on the increase in both of those fees. And in the interest of not creating a precedent of increasing student fees without student input, I would ask that we table the item until students can have a say in this. Would I do that through a motion?
And is there any more discussion on that item? I don't know whether.
Just a question, whether in fact has there been any student input in that issue?
As far as I know, there has been no student input. I spoke with Walter Knorr before the meeting, and he told me that these increases were typical as to inflation, but that he also didn't know if there had been a student discussion. I've been informed by the student body president that there has been no student discussion. I'm actually on the AFMFA assessment committee, and I don't remember being a part of any discussion on an increase of the fee.
In terms of precedent in the past, has there been student input on these kinds of assessments?
I think if you look at attachment 2 in the item, that when it talks about the student fee process, that there should be the student fee advisory committee, and they have not discussed the issue. And that it should, that as the student fees come from students, I think it would be a horrible precedent to set to allow students to have the fees increased on them without their input. I mean, I think when last night we all saw the beautiful facility from UIC, and I think we should know that and remember that that failed the first time to be voted on by students. There's a considerable amount of hesitation when students look at student fees, and I think that this would be